And now the game where we invite notable people on to answer questions about something they didn't bother to note. It's called Not My Job. We are honored this week to welcome to our show the Secretary of Energy of the United States of America, Dr. Stephen Chu. Dr. Chu, welcome to the Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
Now, what's interesting about you, that many people have noticed, is that usually cabinet secretaries are politicians, even that, but you are not or have not been a politician. You are, in fact, a working scientist with a Nobel Prize on your wall, which is pretty impressive. And the question we have for you is, how hard was it to go from the world of science, which is based on rationality and truth, to the world of politics, which is not?
Well, I grew up in a culture where being a professor at a great research university, and I started at Stanford, right, was as high as you can ever get. And so being a department head, a dean, a president interviewer, you know, running a national laboratory, it was all downhill. And so this is just continuing on that.
Really? This is the twilight of your career.
So, yeah. So if you're going downhill, it's all right.
I know. Well, I know you've been, I mean, you are a Nobel Prize winning scientist in your own right, and I know you've run a lot of large institutions, but at the same time, the scientists I know are very straightforward and very intolerant of incorrect opinion, shall we say. Have you ever had to restrain yourself, like when testifying before Congress and some senator or congressman says something that's absolute nonsense and you're not allowed to say, that's ridiculous, Senator?
Well, no, I think the best way is to approach this as, here's an opportunity to do my best to convince people there's another point of view that is rationally based, and to
all right, there's the rational and there's the irrational.
No.
I think the response in Congress has been overall very healthy, and it's nice. I don't think they treat me like the average person who's in a cabinet.
That's an interesting question. Does your background in science, does your Nobel Prize give you any sort of credence with these guys and ladies that just your average politician doesn't have?
You'd have to ask them. I don't really know, but...
Well, do you wear it when you go to the Hill?
No, I think what happens is that they'll at least give you the first minute where they'll listen, and then from there on in, it depends on what you say and how you can reason with people. And so, you know.
Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the policies you're doing. One of the things you're very concerned with is global warming. I know that you're trying to stop it, which would be good. But there's a lot of people who don't believe that it's happening. How do you talk to those people? And I know you have to, because some of them are in our government.
I think the way you talk with them is you show them data. It's a novel thing, but actually showing data first before you talk about opinions is a good way to do this.
But what if they can't read?
Yeah.
No, these are pictures.
Really? You see, Senator, the big yellow ball is the sun.
And that's a star.
Oh, you can make them pictures say anything you want them to say.
Now, I want to talk about your background, which is quite extraordinary. I know you've discussed it yourself, including in your Nobel Prize speech, which is, for a long time, even maybe beyond getting the Nobel Prize, you were arguably the least accomplished person in your family. Is this true?
That is true. I have two brothers.
Yes.
The oldest one went through high school. He set the highest cumulative average ever in the history of that high school. The teachers would say, oh, Stephen, we expect the same from you. And, you know, you can't compete with that. He goes on, gets a PhD in physics, develops an interest in medicine, biology, so he gets an MD, PhD. And now he's a professor at Stanford, a practicing oncologist, but he was also a professor of biochemistry.
Right.
The younger one...
So he got lucky.
Right. So the younger one... was seeing lots of family pressure, as I was. And when I started to do well in college, even more pressure was put on Morgan, the younger one.
Oh my God, what happened?
And so he dropped out of high school.
Did he really?
At the end of his junior year, he said, I'm not putting up with this. But he somehow talked his way into UCLA without the blessing of the parents or the high school. got a PhD at 21, got a law degree, got a whole bunch of degrees, and so he did okay also.
Really?
So here it is. You know, one brother has two PhDs and an MD, another one has a law degree, a PhD, and I just had one advanced degree. It was pretty awful. And now there's a competition between Morgan and I to race to the bottom. Who's the biggest disappointment to our parents?
Oh, come on. Really? Are you a disappointment? You got to be Secretary of Energy, and your mother was like, what, you couldn't get state? Well, fine.
Is this why you're appearing on our show? Race to the bottom. I did wait. Yeah. Take that.
When you got your Nobel, were your parents like, okay, that's nice. That's good. That's not bad.
Well, so I thought that it would at least level the playing field. So I called my mother that morning and say, guess what, Mom? I got a Nobel Prize. And she says, that's nice, but when are you going to see me next? And then she calls me up a couple of hours later and says, Stephen, it's true. I thought you were kidding.
Morgan's more popular. He won a People's Choice Award.
Yeah. Secretary Chu, we are so delighted to have you with us, but we have also asked you here to play a game we're calling...
You are the losingest bunch of losers in the history of losing.
Since, Dr. Chu, you're a bit of an overachiever, we thought we'd ask you about one of the biggest losers in all of sports. That would be the Washington Generals, the team the Harlem Globetrotters beat in nearly every one of their hundreds of exhibition games played per year. We're going to ask you three questions about the Generals. Get two right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners. Carl, who is Secretary Chu playing for?
Peter, the Secretary is playing for Susan Golden Meadow of Chicago, Illinois.
All right.
And just remember, Morgan Chu got all three right.
All right. Here's your first question. The Generals are owned by an 88-year-old World War II veteran named Red Klotz. That's his name. And he has what particular claim to fame? A, he invented the spinning the ball in your finger trick. B, he was the first owner to dress his team in below-the-knee shorts, quote, for decency's sake. Or C, he, at the age of 50, himself hit the buzzer-beating shot to lead the Generals to victory over the Globetrotters.
That's a toughie. I didn't think the Generals actually spun balls. I thought it was always the Globetrotters that spun the ball.
Maybe they saw him doing it and stole the trick. But that is a good point.
But I'm going to go with that because that's so unlikely.
You're going to go with he invented the spinning the ball trick. The first person to say, oh, if I were to take this spherical object and spin it on a point, such as my index finger, it might remain there. I'm just asking you to clarify and confirm that's your
final answer.
Final answer. We're going to go for A. Actually, it was, in fact, C. He played with the team until he was 62, and at the age of 50, he hit the winning shot in one of the two victories the Generals has ever had over the Globetrotters. And boy, did he get in trouble. But he says they play to win every game, he says. Point of pride. All right, two more chances here, Secretaries. You can do well. When you lose as often as the Generals do, you lose in some very interesting places, including which of these? A leper colony in the Philippines... B, in Jack Nicholson's backyard, or C, on a Rose Parade float?
Okay. I'll collapse.
I'm sorry, so what are you going to pick?
Rose Bowl.
You can pick the Rose Parade, the 10 guys in the moving... Float.
Yeah, Rose Parade.
Did he say that he was going to collapse? I mean, this is the man in charge of our nuclear arsenal.
I know.
Nukes can only protect you so much.
That's true. So you're going to choose the Rose Parade float, that they played a game while moving through the streets of Pasadena. It was the leper colony. They lost. They played all over the world. They played in a leper colony. They played in the demilitarized zone in Korea. They played in Lenin Square. And lost in all those places.
They lost to players when their arms were falling off?
They didn't play the lepers, Mo.
They
played the Globetrotters in a leper colony.
I'm sorry. Oh, forgive me.
You have one more chance here. Let's go for this.
I'm not doing so well. I'm glad I had no expectations.
Yeah, absolutely. Last question.
Okay.
What was that Nobel in? Okay. After playing each other for 50 years, the Globetrotters and the Generals decided they needed to spice things up a bit. So on February 9th, the teams will play each other A, on trampolines, B, blindfolded, or C, on ice?
Blindfolded, on trampolines, or on ice?
Why not all three?
On ice?
On ice is your choice?
Mm-hmm.
You're right. They're going to play on ice.
Hey!
You're going to meet? In an ice skating rink?
I salvaged something.
You did. In Central Park, New York, Red Klotz says he likes his team's chances. He says, quote, "We excel on ice." So,
wow. You they should have thought of that before they took up basketball.
I know. So, Carl, how did the Secretary of Energy, Stephen Chu, do in our show?
Well, he needed at least two to win for Susan Golden Meadow, but the Secretary had just one correct answer.
Oh, hey, that's one more than any of your brothers.
Sorry, yeah. Susan.
Stephen Chu is a Nobel Prize-winning physicist and is the United States Secretary of Energy. Secretary Chu, thank you so much for joining us today. What a pleasure to have you. And thank you for your good service.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Take care.